Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Happy April. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
So the lead question I always like to ask you law enforcement guys is, how are we doing? Do we have any news events overnight or in the last day or two that we don't already know about?
Nothing of any significance, and I'm glad to be able to say that.
That's my favorite report. I mean, it makes for a shorter segment, but that is definitely my favorite report is when there's no news, because that means that things are relatively quiet. Well, I will definitely take it. One of the more interesting news notes that involved your agency over the last week was this kickball extravaganza over with the Rattlers and ECSO and I guess some of the high school football players. How did this turn out?
It turned out very well. A good crowd. There's, like you say, there were a lot of agencies involved. It wasn't just us. But we certainly would like to see something like that happen again. It was a lot of people getting together and having a good time.
I think the basic premise that what's the right way to say this, but law enforcement officers being involved with communities in a non-law enforcement moment is one of the key ways of building that relationship and that community trust, right? A different perception in both directions, right?
Well, yeah, they see that we're not just uniforms, badges, and guns. We're people just like they are, and that's what it is. You know, we just have a different job to do.
And this is also why, for example, the school resource officer program is excellent for protecting the kids, but is also a way for police officers to interact with students and for them to become familiar with them. I mean, that's kind of the way I always understood cops growing up, but not everybody has that experience, right?
Yeah, you know, that's huge. The SRO program, now that DARE no longer exists in our area anyway, the SROs are there to protect the kids, but moreover to interact with them and let them know that they are human beings and, you know, they have feelings just like the children do and issues just like the children do. And, you know, they're able to talk to them and get the kids to understand that. And I think that's the biggest plus on the SRO side.
You know, the Citizens Police Advisory Committee, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. I think, you know, they're going away, but they're hoping to continue in existence. And I know it's kind of an odd situation because you guys are a subsidiary organization to the mayor's office and the city council ultimately. But does the police department have a position on whether you want to see the CPAC continue or not?
No, we're going to stay away from that. That's a decision that's going to be made by the city council. We're just going to go out and do our jobs every day like we've been doing and see what happens with that. But again, that's a decision that doesn't have anything to do with us.
Now, you guys were obviously very involved in this. Of course, Captain Crisman, now Chief Crisman, Acting Chief Crisman, was at the CPAC several times. What I continually saw there is there are some elements of what they wanted to do that they didn't have the authority to do, some elements that were just kind of out of left field, like the deprioritization of marijuana as an arrestable. But some of the other elements were things that either your office, you know, your agency was willing to do, like, you know, making reporting of, an infraction against the police very easy to do on the website, or some of the reporting things, and certainly like mental health stuff, you were either willing or already doing it, right?
Yeah, most of the stuff we're already doing. You know, community policing kept coming up, and that's a concept or a day-to-day thing that we've done since the 90s. And so that's still going on. A lot of the recommendations, again, we've already done or already doing. And, you know, we're gonna do whatever the city council and the mayor wants us to do and what's in the books on the laws of the state of Florida. So, you know, a lot of the things that we're bound to enforce the laws. And if folks want laws changed, then they need to be looking towards Tallahassee and the lawmakers instead of the Pensacola Police Department.
And some of the things that they want done, you guys, it's a wish you could do. Like, you know, I guess it's some of the trauma-informed policing or the crisis intervention training, and some of these acronyms can be a little bit difficult to remember which one is which. But some of that stuff is stuff you have done in the past, would love to be able to do again, but it's a funding issue, right?
Yeah, it is. To do that full-time, to have every officer go through that. I mean, we're going to eventually get there, but it is a funding issue. The issues as far as mental health goes, we did that. That was under Chief Leiter and continued under Chief Crisman. So we're going to do that sort of thing. and whenever time and funding allows.
You know, this raises another issue, and I just don't know where the agency is at. When I was at Leadership Santa Rosa about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I guess now, in Milton, I got a chance to use Milton PD's use of force simulator. Incredibly useful, eye-opening. I had never done that before, and I haven't really talked much about it on the air. I will at a different point, but this is where you hold a handgun that functions like a real, it's a CO2 blowback, so it's going to feel like a real gun, and you have to decide in a scenario, what do you do? How do you engage somebody who might be, you know, a suspect you should shoot, might not be? But I found it extremely eye-opening just in the three scenarios that I did. Do you guys have one of those for PPD? Where are you at with that?
We did. We don't at this time. We're trying to find funding to get another one. But, Andrew, like you said, that's an eye-opening experience that shows that police officers have a split second to make a life-or-death decision. A lot of people that talk about the police and put them down and the decisions that they make have not done this. And once they do, it is an eye-opening experience, just like riding with the police. And that's why I feel like these committee members need to ride with the police. They need to go through these scenarios on these simulators and kind of see our perspective as well.
Yeah, and kind of to tie that back into the possibility of the CPAC existing in a future form, I definitely think they ought to do a ride-along. They ought to sit through the Citizens Police Academy. If there's the ability to use it, use of force trainer simulation. I remember from the Citizens Police Academy that the on-the-street engagement in a fabricated scenario was like the most memorable thing that we did, because when you see what it's like to daily try and do a cop's job, it just changes your perspective in a way that you can't get any other way. So I certainly hope that comes back. And that you're able to do that with people in the future. The one thing I wanted to ask you, a lot of times we talk about a myth or debunking a myth. Anything you got for us this week?
Yeah, forcing our way into a business or a home through a gate, we don't shoot the locks off of gates. We don't shoot the locks off of doorways to get in. That's a myth. You see that a lot on these cop shows. You know, the truth is we have door jam spreaders. We have pry bars. A lot of times the fire department responds, and most of the time when we have these incidents, it's not crime related. It's medically a medical problem inside the home where the person can't unlock the door. So yeah, we don't use our firearms to get through doors.
You're not shooting open the lock to get inside to serve a warrant? Not ever.
Not ever.
It's so amazing. Be honest, do you enjoy cop shows? It's got to be maddening to see all the things that are wrong about them. But do cops generally enjoy cop shows?
I don't. I mean, not the real ones, like cops and things like that. That's just like watching work, and
right.
Who wants to do that? But the old ones, I'll mention Hill Street Blues is one of my favorites. A lot of cops will tell you the same thing. You know, those are the good ones. But, yeah, these realistic shows are just – that's just something that I don't have time for.
Hollywood has got a lot more of their stuff in there than policing is in there. Yeah, unfortunately. Well, Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time. And, of course, thanks so much for what you do.
Thank you.